The Gospel of John, chapter 8, starting with verse number 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Then the Pharisees said to him, "You are testifying on your own behalf. Your testimony is not valid." And Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid because I know where I have come from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is valid. For it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is valid. I testify on my own behalf, and the Father who sent me testifies on my behalf." Then they said to him, "Where is your Father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." He spoke these words while he was teaching in the treasury of the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. We continue to consider the very words of Jesus from the Gospel of John. They were spoken by him while he was here on this earth. And the statements we are exploring represent some of the strongest assertions he makes of himself. And Jesus speaks, making declarations of himself using this phrase, "I am." In doing so, he makes statements of his divine nature, and he makes his appeal to us all that he will be what he needs to be for us. And so the call throughout this series has been for Jesus to be your I am. And I know that sounds kind of strange, but think of it this way. Think of it as Jesus telling you what he is, asked to combat what ails you. Let him come into your life and meet needs that are so deeply rooted in your spirit and in your soul. Hear Jesus making these statements of himself and giving you the option to have someone do for you what you can't do for yourself and what no one else in this world can do. That's the I am that we are talking about. Let Jesus be your I am. Last week, we considered nourishment, our need to be fed and nourished. That need, to that need, Jesus says these words, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." We talked about bread last week. We talked about what causes hunger in our lives. You know, what are you hungry for, and what are you thirsting for? The call is to let Jesus be your fill, to satisfy you, to feed you, to nurture you, to care for you. Let Jesus quench your thirst. This morning, for a few moments, I want us to consider being enlightened by the one who says, "I am the light of the world." I grew up in a house that was, it was a three-story house. You can see it here. This is my house in Buffalo, New York, the house that I grew up in. We lived on the first floor, and there were throughout time different tenants that lived on the second floor, including I lived on the second floor when I became kind of a young adult. That was my apartment on the second floor. But if you look, there's another window above that second floor, and that was an attic, and it was a really large space, and for an attic, you know, it's things we stored things up there, but it was also a place where we would go. My brother had a drum set. He had a drum set up there. We would go up there and play drums, and we'd invite our friends up to play drums and do what have you. Now it had a weird electrical setup. The light for the attic was controlled by a switch on the first floor. You had to flick the switch on the first floor and then go up, and that's what controlled all the electricity on the third floor. I remember when I was small, probably, I don't know, 6 or 7, we had some cousins over, and my brother and I and our cousins, we were up in the attic, and my brother was playing drums, and we're doing our thing. Then my brother left, and then it was just me with the drum set with my cousins, and I'm trying to show off and play the drums. I remember it was nighttime, and I remember the lights went out. And church, it was dark. It was pitch black dark. And I remember, me, my two cousins, we were screaming bloody murder. We were so afraid because it was so dark. And we're screaming, telling people, turn on the light. I knew that light was controlled downstairs. And I don't know if they could hear us, but they needed to flip that switch so that the light would come on. And we were just screaming, and I'm scared. And it's just so dark. And we're bumping into things, thinking that there's other people up there than just us. And I remember we got brave, church, and we began to walk towards the stairwell, which was like on the other side of the attic, and we started walking, and we looked, and we saw that there were some people coming at us. We thought that there were ghosts up there, and we ran back screaming. It was such a frightening experience. And then I remember, just out of the blue, the light went on. I never asked my brother about that episode, but I suspect he knew what he was doing when he turned that light switch off when he went back downstairs. When we got towards the stairwell, we found out who the figures were that were coming at us. It was us, because it was a mirror, and we saw our own reflection, and we were afraid of our own reflection. But as I recall that moment, I recall being afraid of the dark. I remember being afraid of darkness, and the only remedy to our fear, the only remedy to the screaming and the nightmare that we were experiencing right there was light. We needed some light. I can't begin to tell you how that experience really mirrors a lot of experiences in a lot of people's life. I mean, that experience might be as good as any in describing what it means to live and to walk in darkness, to be in the dark, church. It's scary. It's disorienting. It's confusing. There is no direction that makes any sense. In the dark, the heart and the mind are conflicted. In the dark is the place where many find themselves right as we speak right now. You may be watching and listening right now, and if I were to ask you, like, how are you doing? You might respond with, Dion, it's pretty dark right now. It's in the dark that there is an overwhelming emptiness. And many have sought out remedies with these tragic results. You might have heard or know someone who has experienced darkness and have tried to remedy their situation with some remedies that plunges them further into the abyss of darkness. It's the place that leads to addiction. It's the place that leads to sinful and deviant behaviors. It's the place that causes one to be despondent and detached. It's the place that leads people to explore ways for and escape. And oftentimes it's tragic. I just learned some troubling news in the past few days that a family member of mine attempted to take their own life. And I can assure you that this person is not concerned about a theological summary on suicide. They are seeking answers to life because right now as we speak, they are overwhelmed with a sense of darkness, emptiness, and void. There is something that experienced this situation of complete darkness and overwhelming void. Any guesses of what I'm referring to or what I'm talking about? This thing that I am talking about that experienced emptiness and void, it's called the earth. In our Bibles, the story of God begins with a description of the existence of God and the condition of the planet earth. In Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1, it says, "In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was formless, void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness." Out of formless void, God said, "Let there be light." You know, void equals no form or chaos, confusion, no order. Void is the place that many people find themselves in right now. They feel they have no form or no purpose. They feel everything around them is caving in on them all at the same time. There is much confusion about what to do, where to go, what to say, how to solve, who to tell. It's the source of panic attacks, mental breakdowns, and spiritual fall. That was the earth. And God says, "Let there be light." This, in many of our lives, is what we so desire. So like I was in the darkness in the attic, I needed light. And so many of us in that season of darkness need for God to say, "Let there be light." And this is what God still does, something that he did at the dawn of creation. He is still doing that in many of our lives. The story of God's people has included our individual and communal cries to the Lord to give us light in our periods and seasons of darkness. Hear these cries from the Psalms, Psalm 4:6. "There are many who say, 'Oh, that we might see some good. Let the light of your face shine on us, O Lord.'" Psalm 36, verses 9 through 10. "For with you is the foundation of life. In your light we see light. Continue your steadfast love to those who know you, and your salvation to the upright of heart." Psalm 43, verse number 3. "Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the harp, O God, my God." Picking up the language of God's people from the Psalms and throughout the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament, the writer of the Gospel of John says this in the introduction of his gospel, John chapter 1, verse number 3. "All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being, in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. He writes this in the introduction as if to say what you are about to read is about the one who is the light, who shines the light, and through whom life will be given to those who walk in that light. The author would continue speaking of this light in verse number 6. He writes, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, to that all that might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. And of course, if you drop down to verse 14, talking about the word became flesh and dwelt among us. The light is Jesus. And here's where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. God's shining light in dark seasons and dark lives and dark moments is taking place in the name of Jesus. More emphatically, hear Jesus saying this of himself: I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Our collective testimony is that Jesus stepped out of heaven and into our lives and enlightened us. He saved us. He gave us clarity. He gave us order. He gave us form and shape. He made us into fertile plots where God's love could be planted and his Holy Spirit would produce fruit like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. You know those fruit that are the exact opposite of the fruit being demonstrated for those of you who are homeschooling your kids right now. Because trust me, in trying to get my high schooler to do her homework, there is very little love, joy, peace, or patience, or kindness, or goodness, or faithfulness, or gentleness, or self-control. And I just heard through the computer screen all the amens for you parents who are homeschooling your kids. Later, Jesus would say of this light, him being the light, Jesus said to them, this is John chapter 12, verse number 35, the light is with you for a little longer. Walk while you have the light so that the darkness may not overtake you. If you walk in darkness, you do not know where you're going. While you have the light, believe in the light so that you may become children of light. When the light shines in our lives, again, we become these plots, these gardens where God's love is planted. And the Holy Spirit begins to produce all types of things. While we have the ability, while we have breath, it is a call to walk in the light. It's amazing when you consider how life is lived as a child of the light. It's a blessing to see and hear the stories and testimonies of those who lived in darkness and are able to experience life in the light. I wanted to take a moment to watch a story of a woman named Leslie. Listen to her tell you about walking in darkness and now walking in the light as a children of the light. Let's listen to Leslie's story.
My family loved me a lot, and we were close, and we did not really go to church at all. That left me searching for meaning and existence. I found a group of friends, and they pretty much had lives that revolved around drugs. So I started using more illicit drugs on almost a daily basis. My whole life revolved around it. And I ended up in jail a lot. even while I was incarcerated, I was able to find meth. And I remember praying to God, basically saying, like, if I don't get caught, I won't ever do meth again. And that's when Marianne, a woman who would come in every Thursday and just faithfully share the gospel. She would walk women through these workbooks. She told me about the Bible study that they did on Thursdays, and she told me to come check it out. So I did, and that was the first time I ever heard the gospel. It was a powerful moment, but I can't say that everything clicked for me right then. It was definitely a seed planted. Women from her church would write notes. Like, these women didn't know us. And I didn't understand, like, why they would care so much to write a note. But it was so encouraging. So I fell onto the floor and I gave my life to Christ that night. I remember the gospel as I was on the floor, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that kept running through my head as I was on the floor. And I was saying, God, I know I sinned a lot. And I need you to take it all away from me because I can't handle it anymore. And he did. I finally got my court date. I was sentenced to 5 years of probation. And I started going to a recovery program that was Christ-centered. And I started really growing in Christ and opening up with other women. Since the Lord's redeemed my life, the Lord's just opened up ministry with so many people in my life, just opening doors to form relationships with people. I've been able to go back into the prisons and just minister to women there, not only just sharing the love of Christ and sharing the gospel, but also sharing my story of God's grace in my life. Before Christ, I was lost, I was manipulative, I was hurt, and I was searching for something to give me what I thought was significance. And since putting my faith in Christ, I have joy and I have hope. I really feel like I've started my eternal life here on earth.
Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 8 says, "For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true." Did you see how Leslie was able to distinguish life in darkness and life in the light? She was able to reflect upon what life was like with addiction and darkness, and now light in the name of Jesus, as a follower of Jesus, as a part of a Christian community. That is what Jesus wants for all of us to experience in him, to find a light source for every dark moment, every dark issue, every dark season. He wants you and me to live as children of the light, to produce fruit that is good and right. He wants us to be transformed by the light. He wants us to share this light. Today might have been good as time as any to sing, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." And whether we sing that song or not, let us commit to live lives that shines forth the light of the sun. Because there are men and women like Leslie who need rescue out of darkness, and they need to see the light of the world. They're living in a dark, formless void, and they need to hear God say, "Let there be light." You know, I didn't read the story before this passage in John chapter 8 where Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." It's a story about a woman who was caught in the act of adultery, and some of her accusers brought her to Jesus, and they came with the woman and stone in hand, ready to put her against a wall and throw these rocks at her and execute her for her sin. They were trying to trap Jesus, and that's another sermon, but Jesus didn't grab a stone. In fact, he says, "Whoever has no sin, you throw the first stone," and they dropped their rocks. They all went away. Jesus shined a light on their situations, and it convicted many of them. And he shined his light on this woman's life, perhaps like she has never seen it before. And it was in that moment of illumination where God said, "Let there be light," that he told this woman, "I'm not here to condemn you or accuse you. Go and sin no more." That's what happens when the light is activated in our life. There's new hope. There's new life. There's a new path to go. Listen, if you're succumbing to darkness, let this be your rescue call. Let Jesus be your light and your salvation. Let us pray for you. Let us minister to you. Let us bring forth fruit as children of the light. I want us to just spend a few moments, as we did last week, just reflecting on the light of the world. Here's an invitation for you to pray. We'll just spend some time in silence, looking at a graphic, looking at this phrase that Jesus uttered, "I am the light of the world." And if right now you need Jesus to shine light in a dark area in your life, pray that to him right now. Pray that he will rescue you. Pray that he will illuminate you. Pray that through giving you light, he will give you life. Let's pray. Lord, we reflect with thankful hearts on the wonder of your birth, the love you expressed when you left, your glory to come to the earth. For your life was like a beacon, Lord, shining brightly in the night, filling the world with the radiance of the Father's glorious light. And we, too, long to have inside your light for others to see, the beautiful reflection of your grace and the wonder of your majesty. For as your life indwells our hearts, we can shine wherever we are and arise to take hold of each new day. With your light ablaze in our hearts, so rekindle the flame within us, Lord, so it will not flicker nor dim. Ignite us with the light of your love, so you will shine brightly within. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.